What deck should you not play?
Zard. I think playing Zard box, like if you're not super well versed with it, or like a top 50 player, is like kind of suicide into this big event because you're gonna have to play perfectly.
Yo, what up, guys? Welcome to Faded Town, number one Pokemon podcast in the world. These are facts. Look up in a book, Google it, local library, whatever you gotta do. PokeStats, you know. Rule's back. What's
Hello,
up,
bro.
Rule? How you been, man?
Doing good. Been a while since we've done this, but I'm excited to, I guess, like talk about. I mean, you know me. You guys know me. I love
Right.
talking about Pokemon, state of affairs, whatever.
Yeah, it's fun times. It's been a minute. It finally feels like we're back. We're not going anywhere. There's nothing. Hopefully there's no tragedies that happen. We get full season. We have some fun here, you know? We got a lot to talk about today. We're gonna hit all the news, Pokemon news. What we know, what we don't know. We'll talk about regionals, registrations, pricing. Then we'll hit our breakdown like we always do. We'll tell you what to play, what's not to play, what's the sleeper picks. We'll have all that good information for you. But overall, I've been super excited for this season. I wasn't gonna play. Then Japan got announced. I was like, I should probably play. Also, like, I just haven't never got my invite, and I'm like, I can't just hang it up
Sure, yeah. I mean,
on
it's like one of
that.
those where it's like it seems super daunting. Like I tell this to a lot of players where like it feels super daunting to get that first invite, but once you do it the first time, you've already like cleared that wall. So in your mind, you can now start thinking about some. It's like the same thing where it's like you've never day two to regionals. So in your mind, you're thinking, "Oh my God, I need a day two. I need a day two." But once you clear that wall for the first time, it's like, "Okay, I know what that feels like. I know what we've done." Like I remember my first Worlds. I was an absolute nervous wreck. I switched decks like three times before we had to turn in lists, and it was like paper deck lists back then.
Oh
And so I
gosh.
remember, I know this is a tangent, but like I vividly remember, like it was 2016 Worlds, and this was the year where we were delayed on the start. And I was day one, so it was like, I think we were supposed to start at like 8th, but we ended up starting at like 9:30 maybe. And so they were walking around collecting paper deck lists, and I had like three lists and three decks, and I just kept like switching and switching and switching, and I ended up like locking in the deck that my group didn't like. I think it was like me, like I was we were like messaging each other too downstairs, and like I think it was like me, Jeremy, Jalen, ended up pivoting off of Greninja, which the rest of the group played, into like Nightmarch. And I don't know why, like what possessed me, but I just remember like how nervous and like I don't know. It was just like I was a mess. But once you just getting to Worlds was like super exciting for me. Like I remember picking up my kit for the first time and like looking through everything, and it's a different feeling knowing that you earned that invite for the first time.
Right, I was what was it, DC, and I was hanging out with all you guys, and then when we went to pick up our swag, you guys all went to competitors, and I'm like, I can't do this again. And like, if I go, I need an invite. I can't be in the, I can't be the one guy that goes over to spectators and be like, hi guys. Yeah, I can't
Bye,
do
I'll
that
catch you on
anymore.
the flip side.
Yeah, but I'm excited. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is there more regionals this year than ever before, or is that is like 16 a normal number?
We have 14, I think, right now.
Or is it 14 plus NAIC?
We have
So
14 listed
15.
right now.
Is that normal?
I think plus one or even
Okay. I don't know. It just seemed like a lot to me. I was like, I don't
if
remember
I'm
there being
remembering
that many.
correctly, I think we've had 13 or 14 in years past.
Okay.
And I think there's a world where they actually add one more.
Okay, that sounds cool.
And I think it might be like a NorCal one, because we've never not had
That'd
a
be
NorCal
dope,
one, right? Like
right?
it feels like
Yeah, or
SoCal and
like
NorCal always
Seattle
get
or
one.
something. Yeah, that'd be cool.
No, Portland already gets one, so that counts, I think.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's true, Portland.
So I think this is either tied for, or we have past the most regionals. Okay. So,
which are like when I seen that, and then we didn't have local events for like a week or something, and then we are gonna have local events. Yeah.
So for everyone watching, at the beginning when they announced the regional circuit, everyone was like, "Oh my god, no locals! Like, how are we gonna get our invite? What's the situation?" Everyone panicked a little bit. And then it looks like emails went out to tournament organizers, like league leaders. Sorry, is probably the better term to use. Like, it went out to league leaders to basically be like, hey, can you please confirm attendance in the last couple months of your league? Like, are people actually coming? Like, what's the situation? So we can prepare for local events starting in January. And now we don't know if that means that, like, come January 1st, organizers will be able to schedule things. Or maybe like in November or something, they get a follow-up email saying that like, you've been granted a cup or a challenge or whatever. And if I remember correctly, cups and challenges are both monthly. No, cups are quarterly, challenges are monthly. And so if it starts in January, there's like a chance that we can get like each store will get like a third cup because the quarter three doesn't start till February.
That'd be nice.
But if they like kind of try to kick us off at the same time as Scarlet Violet all at once, there's a world where we could only have two cups, two challenges per, or like two cups, like four or five challenges per store, which I could see them doing it either way. I think January makes sense if they want to kick us off at the same time as VGC, because VGC starts, I believe they play San Diego Regionals, which is January.
I think so, yeah. Right in January, yeah.
Yeah, which would make a lot of sense because I think VGC locals will be very, very big with Scarlet and Violet. And if they want to kind of kick us off there, we could reasonably see this like 2.5 quarter system, or even just abolish the quarter system entirely. I don't know. I think they'll keep the quarter system. They love their quarter system.
Yeah, we'll see. There's a lot of news that like we don't have. We don't have
how many points.
Like, I mean, let's be real. The first regional of the year is, I don't know, 3 days away. When you guys watch this, probably be like 2 days away. We don't know how many points we need. We don't know, like, to be like completely honest, we don't even know the pricing. Like, for the tournament, we all assume it's still going to be the same, which it probably is going to be the same.
That's actually a really good point.
We looked at, I think I watched Azul's and Chip's podcast, and they looked at the Pokemon website, and it was like useless. Like when you look up regionals on that, they didn't even
know what it is. Yeah, no information.
Like, when you look up the regionals, it goes to last year's regionals. So it doesn't even, it's not even updated to like regional list this year. So,
I mean, I guess there's like that glimmer of hope that we could get boosted pricing. Like I remember in 2016-17 season, pricing was updated by New Year's, I think. We got like updated pricing for top 64 or whatever, and the top 8 pricing got changed. So there's a world maybe they were deciding that.
Maybe.
I highly doubt it, however.
Me too. We don't know prizing, we don't know how many points we need for Worlds, we don't know how many points we get for
you know, well, regionals, winning a regionals. The points are clear because the open points are in the system.
Oh yeah, that's true.
So players were able to kind of deduce that it's the exact same as last year. With
That's good.
Which leads me to believe that we'll probably follow a similar, if not the same, system for regionals as a whole. And I guess I'll give my prediction. I think Zach, that we're probably going to have... I think we're going to have a 400-point season with four cups, four challenges that count for your overall. It might be like two per quarter, unless they do the three-quarter system thing, which at that point I have no clue. My guesses are out the window. But I think 400 is very reasonable because with four cups, four challenges, that can players can earn up to 260 from that if they win everything, leaving them with a world where they just need 140 from regionals, or they could even make it like a 350-point invite with that system. I assume there will be a BFL on regionals. There always has been. It's been six in years past, so I think six is probably the number we're looking at. Again, for regionals or cups, it makes sense to do the halfway point. If they do eight again, that'd be kind of crazy because getting eight finishes in like... With like
months.
losing like 5 months of the system is kind of crazy. Like I to put in perspective, pre-COVID, I went to a ton of cups, and that was March. Like we capped off in March, I think, and I only acquired like six cup finishes. Which was a lot, and I went to like everything.
Me too. I went to so many cups; it was crazy, and I only had like four finishes.
So
like good finishes.
So if they want to kind of keep some sort of fairness, I think they'll probably end up doing the 4 Cup 4 challenges. So make it so more local players can push for that invite. And I think 350 or 400 is a very fair number to get to that invite. And then once you can get to that number, you're not pouring out of money out of your wallet to go to like 10 regionals or something. Like you probably go to 2 or 3 regionals, pick up some pity points, go to NAIC, pick up some pity points. It forces players to play a little bit, like place a little bit at regionals or whatever. Can focus on the local scene a little bit more as well. And then they can save their money up for that price point, which is Japan, which is getting there is going to be pretty expensive. But once you're there, it's the cost of being there is pretty cheap, actually.
Yeah.
Because I'm an econ major, so I like read these random articles that pop up all the time because I'm a nerd.
Right.
And the Japanese yen is in the gutter right now, which is,
it is
super nice for us. Like it's like actually like completely bogged down, and like the dollar is so strong compared to the yen. So our dollar goes like a very long way once we're there.
Yeah. When I traveled there, I don't know, like 4 years ago, it was even, which was nice because it didn't feel different. Everything like, felt the same. So I was like, but it's nice if it's cheaper, you know? But yeah, I don't know. I think people that are grinding, you're going to have your opportunities. Obviously, every regional you go to, you got to make count. Cause
yes, absolutely.
If you're not going to go to 12 regionals, like, if you're going to 4 or 5 regionals and NAIC, you're going to need to get points at 4 or 5 regionals and NAIC.
The map does look pretty even around this time of year. Like, I think I saw somebody post where every regional is, and I think there's like 5 along the East Coast, 5 along the Midwest, and like 4 West Coast, which again, West Coast gets shafted by 1, but that's actually like a pretty reasonable divide across the board for people to go to the ones in their own region. Like,
Yeah, I'm going to look, because Szymanski posted exactly what it is.
Like, for East Coasters, like, there's probably, like, everyone has, like, 2 or 3 you can drive to. I guess everything is a drive if you were really crazy, but...
not with this gas.
Not with this gas, that's true. But, like, I think everyone has at least, like, 2 or 3 that are in, like, reasonable flying distance as well. Where like it's not going to run up the price tag too much.
No.
I do know that there's a couple of regionals that are like pretty pricey. Like going from east to west is a little bit pricier. West to east, you know, vice versa. So like those players who are thinking about hitting some of the ones in the middle ground can find ways to do it in a reasonable manner. I have like a really good video. I'm plugging myself slightly here, but I have like a really good video from about a year ago where I did like how to like kind of play credit card roulette and. Get like those points and kind of recycle those over and over again with like hotels and stuff like that. So like that's a really excellent way to justify travel and like kind of make it cheaper on yourself. So if that's like something you want to do or like look into, excellent way to kind of mitigate the cost, because I know Pokemon is not getting cheaper, and we can jump right into entry costs.
We'll jump into that. All right, so we have. You were right with the regionals. We have 5 on the East Coast, 4 on the West Coast, and then like 5 in the middle. They are getting more expensive. I don't know. Like to me, maybe it's because I'm older now. Like it didn't feel expensive. I was like, I don't know. I felt like
you were just paying. Yeah.
Like everywhere I go, like if I go to like an event to do anything, like a concert or something. Like $100 sounds right, you know? So when it was like 70, I was like, all right. But then like, I started thinking like, I don't know, like 3 years ago, it was like $35. And we were complaining.
I don't remember if when I started, it was free or $20, but it was like really cheap back in like 2010, 2011.
Right.
Someone can correct me in the comments if I'm wrong, but like, I think it was free. Like I genuinely believe that like,
I remember you could pay in bulk. I remember I brought bulk and I got into regional just giving them bulk.
I understand that venues are probably more expensive, and like I'm very neutral on this issue because like I obviously see it from both sides where like $70 is running up the bill, but I do understand that in this day and age venues are probably significantly more expensive. We're continuing to keep COVID protocols with the spacing, which I'm a huge fan of, like having the space in between the tables, like which, but also that demands bigger venues and higher seating. And if we're trying to accommodate like 1,000 competitors at every event, like that's going to run it up to get these like bigger venues. But I think what everyone wants like is just to see like the receipts, like at least once, mm-hmm. just being like, hey, like, can you just show us like why it's costing so much? I know some people have done like their own little sleuthing and research on Twitter and have been like, well, this is how much square footage we're renting out. This is what's happening. This is what the price point is, which makes sense. Sure. Like, I mean, like, I appreciate that. But I was talking to Nico actually about this, and Nico pointed out that the entry fees have been going up for them in Europe as well, but the venues have been the exact same. They've been going to the same venues. So that's something that why I think there's like a counterpoint to be made here too, like why there's something probably more a little bit that I want to dive into. But for us, I think the venues are getting bigger. There's more going on, and I do appreciate like what we've been getting for our price point. Obviously 70 is still very high, but I think having a couple of receipts kind of thrown out there would make people feel more comfortable. I do like what Europe did with the Lille. I believe it's Lille where they did $40 entries for junior seniors.
I think that is the biggest thing that bothers me. Our
junior senior division is going down like significantly, and so I would like to see that being reduced. Like, if I was a kid that age, there's no way I could justify $70 on top of everything to my parents, especially if I was just like a casual, which a lot of these kids are. Like, a lot of these kids are not hardcore grinders. They're someone who lives nearby. I mean, like, it's the same thing VGC experienced in the last couple years, where like the entry fees were making it so like juniors and senior division had like two or three people, maybe max 10. And I don't want that to happen to us as well. So I think I would highly commend organizers if they were able to find that price point where they could still break even with no profit on the junior senior division.
I agree.
Where, like, they kind of like, not like out of the goodness of their hearts, because I understand there's a business to be, it's a business at the end of the day, but like kind of take a little bit of an L on the whole senior junior thing and just encourage growth.
I have a hard time thinking that you really need to charge these kids that much. I don't know.
I mean, I completely agree.
It's rough because I think it's going to be weird when we get to VGC, because to play in a tournament costs more than to buy the entire game. Which, when you compare stuff like that, like obviously, like a Pokemon deck's like $100 or something. So it's like
talked to VGC people, because I remember like early Sword and Shield, like they had a ton of people, mm-hmm. but their numbers like obviously started going down. I think it is definitely hard to justify paying more than your game, because I think they get the same kickers we do for money. So like with 100 people, you're not. I don't believe they get the full 5K. I think they get like 2, maybe 1.5 for winning, which is like, rough. I don't know. Like, that kind of sucks to like.
I think the days of like making your money back on regionals, I think are over.
I agree. I agree. It's
won,
you can keep your sealed product and like hold it long term, but it's not like the same where it's like when I was in college, I would come up to these regionals in like 2017-18, top 8. That's or like not even top 8, day 2. Get my entry fee back, get my ticket, plane ticket back, sell the box, pay for the food for the weekend, and then I'm good. You know, I'm set.
Yeah.
Like, because I would fly Spirit everywhere.
Oh, I'm flying Spirit everywhere still. And, so like,
I'd be like, I can't bring that box home. I gotta flip it.
That's what I was thinking in my head. I'm like, I don't even have a bag to put that stuff's gotta go as soon as I get it. You
probably find people who are willing to pay more than that $75 the vendors used to pay, because the price point of boxes has gone up as well, so you could probably get like 90, maybe even 100, if you like kind of haggle, which is something. It's not a lot, but it's something.
Yeah, it's just tough. Like you got, I don't know, even like top 16, I think is only like $250.
500.
Is it 500? Okay, yes. Top 32 is.
But top 16 $250? Is also going like. Top 16.
Really, you're doing like 10, really well.
It's like 10-3-2 record or like 10.
Yeah, you're doing.
Like you're barely not making top 8.
Yeah, you're doing great. And like top 32 is only $250. That's like not even the plane ticket.
I've gotten 9 wins and 10 wins at tournaments this season, in this past season, and bubble top 32. So it's been brutal. It's brutal to even try to get your money back, which is
there's no way.
You can't think about
it. Like hotels are more expensive now too. Everything's just more expensive.
Airbnb's not cheap anymore.
No, everything is, and our price. Well, as far as we know, our prizing isn't any higher. So we are here for the championship points. You're not really out here to win money, to be honest.
Yep.
I mean, you get first, sure. You made some money.
This is a hobby that we're spending money in, obviously, and I think,
it is what it is at this point. Don't think about making money on this anymore. I know there used to be a lot of players that would fund their whole career just doing well on tournaments.
That's what I do. I mean, like, I think I never went, for a vast majority of when I played in college, I never went negative. Like, it felt super nice when I did my, like, expense sheet, because my dad's an accountant, so he would make me do all my expenses. Ooh. And so when I would do all my expense sheets and everything, I never, ever had to ask my parents. Okay, one time I asked my parents for money, but it was, like, a loan because I couldn't pay for OCIC. But it would be, like, I would never go in the red because I was sharing rooms. I was basically making my money back with even a top 32 plus selling the box. You know, like, top 30 would be the 250 plus sell the box. Like, I would basically make my money back on the weekend with that, but now those days have passed.
Yeah, that's not happening. But I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. It is what it is. We'll see. Again, receipts would be nice. Probably will never get that, but
it is what it is. I mean, we'll hopefully maybe get some transparency. Like, it would be really cool if, like, an organizer would, like, if they're watching this, would like to hop on maybe one day and talk to us about it.
I know the organizer for the Baltimore one did a Q&A. Yeah,
Christine. Did Christine do it? Oh, okay, I didn't know.
She did a Q&A on Twitter, which I haven't really gone through. No one really was asking, like, rude questions. Hard-hitting questions. Not rude, I guess you're right. But yeah, it's something to look on. I'll look at it later. But
yeah, I mean, I think getting that we've never had that, like, full transparency between staff and players, which has been something I think we've wanted for a really long time. So having some sort of segue would be really cool.
I think regionals feeling like sneaker drops is kind of annoying too, where you're like, I got to know right when this drops because of my fill up. Like, we didn't have that issue in the past, but it is what it is now.
I mean, I do like their, like, transparency for a majority of them. I do think that Salt Lake was a little bit scuffed.
I think West Coast won't be as popular. So, like,
I will amend that. I will amend that with saying that when San Diego I'll just say when Scarlet Violet comes out, I think that we'll have to compete with these VGC guys. And
that's true.
When that happens with seeding, I do expect, like, the first couple to blow up. Like, I think San Diego is our kickoff. And I think, like, we'll probably see, like, 300-400, because I know the West Coast has, like, a very strong VGC base. And because it's like the premier, the first Scarlet Violet regionals, I think there'll be a lot more people who are willing to travel out there for that regionals to compete. So that might be one where, like, knowing the drop or knowing the allocation of slots would be very helpful. I do know that they're having it at the convention center, which is massive. So, like, maybe it would be good, but also, again, we don't know what room they're booking or what's the situation, because that room we had last time, because it's the same, I think the same place as last time, was huge.
It was
absolutely massive.
It was dope. I think you just gotta follow, like, Szymanski or Will Post on Twitter.
Szymanski,
I think
it's their best chance.
Arc Labs.
Overload events is going to be the East Coast regionals.
Yeah.
Day two events will be all the Midwest ones, and the Northwest one, or the Northwest Pokemon, does not have a Twitter, so that's a little bit of a.
Yeah, you just gotta hope you. Yeah, friends.
Christopher does this good.
Yeah, that's a thing there. West Coast is kind of up in the air.
But they won't. Maybe, I don't think they'll fill up too much.
But maybe they'll see that everybody's complaining. Someone on staff will make a Twitter.
I mean, yeah, maybe. We can also just talk. We can try to, like, talk to them at Salt Lake as well.
Yeah, I think people are reasonable.
Politely, of course, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People are reasonable. They'll figure it out. I think we'll be all right there.
Yeah.
We'll have 4 or 5 regionals on the West Coast, so it's not... I think East Coast is the ones you really need to be on top of.
East Coast and Midwest will fill up pretty quickly. I think stuff like your Charlotte, your Wisconsin, Knoxville, even Florida for sure. Like, those will fill up. Arlington, Texas will be probably popping.
The flight to Arlington for me is like $600. I'm like, why? It's so close.
Bro, mines are also expensive. I bet I heard there's a Southwest sale currently running, so I'm going to check that right after the podcast.
Alright, I have to check that out. But there's one regional I'm mad about. Illinois. Peoria? Pern.
Yeah, Peoria.
Come on. Why can't we do Chicago? Why are we in the middle of nowhere? Chicago flight, $130. Peoria flight, $500. I'll just stay home. It's crazy. Like,
Some of these locations are very obscure.
Some of them are. I looked at them. Some of them are obscure, but we always go to them, like Frankfurt and Knoxville and some other ones. But
Knoxville's not terrible because there's a ton of airports you can fly into.
But it's just like I'm thinking as like a traveler, like someone that wants to visit a city. Like, do I want to go to Knoxville?
There are not too many destination cities on this list, I will say that. But also, there's not that many destination cities in America, to be fair.
I don't know, like, Charlotte's kind of is fine. Like, just bigger cities, you know what I'm saying? Sure.
Charlotte's cool, Portland's cool.
That's like, Vancouver's cool. Yeah. Orlando, Salt Lake.
Orlando's a good one. I mean, I like
San Diego, Toronto, Vancouver. Like, those are all pretty good. They're all pretty good. And then you have, like, some weird one in the middle of Illinois. That's like doing a regional in Nevada and going to, like, Laughlin or something.
I don't know why that is, so that's
yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's like, can we just go to Vegas? Like, I don't know. We'll see. You think NAIC is gonna stay in Columbus
or Indy? I think it's one of the two.
There's
only two convention centers that are like central enough to handle it. I think Columbus definitely can. So I've been to Columbus when they did Origins there as well. I've seen them do like the two halls that we have plus the two halls next to them for Origins. And that's like a massive amount of space that can occupy a lot. And that's usually what Origins does. And I think had the MLM conference or whatever not been there this year, then we could have potentially booked those rooms as well. But I don't know, like, for big events like ICs, I'm confident that they have to do the booking well in advance, which I think we can lead into the point that has caused a lot of frustration and controversy, is LAIC not being announced yet. We're about 2 months out. There are players who will need to get visas. There are passport issues. And the prices for the tickets are getting to be, for some players, more than the travel awards. Like, our Australian friends will have to pay their entire travel award of, like, $3,500 or more to simply fly to Brazil, which is absolutely ridiculous. Like they're going to have to take the option. I mean, they have the option, obviously, if they've traveled award to do the flight and hotel, but what is happening? Like where, like you, I have to assume these ICs are booked far enough in advance because they give us the countries, right? Like they gave us the countries already, like LAIC is Brazil, Oceania is Australia, Europe is in the UK, and North America is in the USA. Like, yes, that's a very vast range, but like, I feel like if you're booking these big events, you have to be able to tell us in advance that, like, hey, what's I remember last year when we got our schedule, we literally had the first three ICs with locations.
Yep,
like, I think we literally had like all three, like, I think all the way up to Germany were given to us. And I think we had NAIC's location, but just not the dates.
Yes,
which because I remember vividly booking, like, finding this like absurdly cheap flight to Frankfurt, and I had like booked it. I was just like, I am booking this, and it was like October when I booked. So it with LAIC, like, even for myself, where tickets and typically for myself, to be fully transparent, to LAIC have been like 800 nonstop from Dulles, which obviously I'm paying a little bit more to take those nonstop options, like maybe 100-200 bucks. But I prefer to have those than what's going on. Right. But this year, my flights are no cheaper than like $1,200, $1,300. And I'm getting these one stops in like really bad locations. Like I'm going up to Toronto or Quebec, for example, before I go down. Or I'm going through like Latin American countries where I have like an hour stop, which I'm not comfortable with, obviously. Right. Like the options are getting limited. The time is getting limited. And I don't think you want to be gatekeeping your top players from attending an international by just not giving us the dates. I don't know. It just kind of sucks. Like I think a lot of players who are like gonna go for 16 or gonna go for this IC without the stipend, like I think they're being blocked out by the price point now. Like, I think they're being like heavily pushed out by the existing price point of what's happening. Like, yeah. I don't know how you can, as a player, like, justify with no stipend saying, I'm going to slam $1,600 minimum on this trip.
Yeah, for a flight.
So, I don't know. This is shaping up to be an interesting start to the season. But Japan is the carrot at the end of the stick, and that is something that I think a lot of players are very motivated to go to. I do understand for people that are like, we're adults with adult money, and we can go to Japan at any point in our life. It's different because I think when you go, you want to either go with like your partner or like friends in general, and it's really hard to kind of wrangle up people and like get that squad together. But like, if you know that Worlds is happening, you know, like if I'm like bombing out of the event or something and Zach is there, I could be like, yo, Zach, want to go get like food or like want to go to like karaoke or something.
Let's go
like,
do something or, like, cool.
Or like the players who don't make it to day two, for example, they can plan a day trip somewhere around like Tokyo because we're close enough with Yokohama, or you can go to Kyoto or Nara, like all these places that people have bucket lists. If you can't tell, I've been like wanting a Japan trip for quite a long time in my own personal life. And I had something planned that just fell through due to COVID.
Yeah.
But
I remember I was looking at tickets.
Yeah, you were going to come with us. It was going to be dope. Like, it was going to be a really fun trip. And I think players will make this a little bit of an extended trip as well if they head out there, which I really like enjoy. I know a couple players did that in Europe. Like, I think a couple players would go to Europe. I think after London, they like left for like, I saw someone leave for Ireland, some went to Spain, some went to France. Like, they just made like trips out of it because like once you're already there, like getting around is pretty cheap. So I think that the carrot at the end of the stick being Japan is crazy. And I think we can hit on that a little bit too. Like, my personal thoughts is like, it's going to be wild. It's going to be absolutely crazy in terms of attendance from people that are not in the event. For you, Zach, who wasn't actually there in London, there was a lot of players, or not players, but a lot of people outside of the event, like the Pokemon Go players, people who are just there to collectors, people who are just there to spectate, go to the Pokemon Center, all this stuff. Like, there was a lot of people who were not even participating in the main event that were there, which was kind of crazy to me because I didn't expect that kind of craze, you know? Like, like I would leave the event hall area, walk outside to like the middle section, and there'd just be like so many people. And like, I would walk by like the Pokemon Go area, like they had like this like picture booth where you could do this like quests for your phone, and like people there was like a line of people doing that, and it was just like, it was crazy. It was really cool. What I saw there, I expect like 20 times worse in Japan.
That's what I was thinking in my head. I'm like, this is gonna be the first World Championships in Japan. Like, how, like, insane is that? That's, like, insane. Like, yes. I want to be involved. I want to be there. I want to be in that situation. So, like, as much as, like, I can go to Japan whenever I want. Like, I can get a cheap flight during whatever season, go there, have fun, but it's not the same. You're going to be surrounded by so many people that, like, all your friends are people. I mean, all your friends are going to be there. The experience is just going to be wild. Like, Japan was amazing when I went with just two of my friends. I could just imagine when I go with, like, 15, 20 of my friends. Like, it's going to be fun.
Like, literally.
The numbers are going to be insane. You're right, though.
The thing that I know that Japan's also going to do, like, given how they are with, like, their promotion, is, like, imagine, like, the subways and, like...
Oh, it's going to be insane. It's going to be insane.
Like, everything will promote Worlds, which is going to be one of the craziest things.
Like the whole city.
Like from everything. What I understand, they have this tournament yearly, and the top four players become their, like, four kings. And they, like, promote these guys in, like TPC promotes them in, like, their Pokemon centers and, like, like, photo shoots and uses them in their YouTube videos and has them as, like, official casters. I think Shintaro is one of them. I know, I think Yoshiyuki is another. Like, these guys are, like, very, very good players that Japan loves to use. So, like, you can... And it might be crazy for us to go, too, because there's going to be players out there who have been following, like, the Western scene, or us in general. Like, I guarantee you, like, Azul is going to have so many people that want to just, like, take pictures with him or talk to him. Same with Tor. Like, I guarantee you, like, these guys who have been following, like, our tournaments, like, I'm sure people all watched NAIC and watched Azul win. Like, I'm sure people have watched, like, Tor win those ICs across time. Like, this is going to be really cool. Like, this is going to be a really cool... This is, like, the first time I think... It's going to feel like we are on a global scale compared to, like, having a world in the U.S.
Yeah. Like, I think you're right. I think, like, going there, as soon as you get off the plane, you're going to feel the impact of the event, which is, like, super cool to think about, actually. Like, because, like, here you go to, like, NAIC or something, like, no one knows anything until you get to the venue. You're like, oh, there's a big Pikachu or something. Like, once you get off the plane, you might just see Pokemon stuff is everywhere. It's crazy. So that's kind of dope. That's super dope. But we got to get there. We got to get our invites. That starts in 2 days.
Minimum goal is the invite. And then for myself, I will be chasing 16 for at 16. Least one more year.
Right.
I was going to take a chill pill on this year. Focus on life, get my master's going, get all that stuff done. But they announced Japan. I was just like, fuck.
Let's get it.
I was like, might as well, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Could be fun. But let's break this down for everybody. We're going to Baltimore. If you're going to Baltimore, we are playing, what is it, Sword and Shield to Pokemon Go? No Lost Origins. I'm sorry. We'll talk Lost Origins next week, which I have a lot to talk about. I played in a tournament of Lost Origins last week, so it's kind of fun. But
I haven't played Lost Origins yet, but I have seen a lot of the decks coming out of it, and I'm pretty excited to try some of the stuff.
Yeah, it looks fun. It was fun. But that's not why we're here this week. Let's talk Baltimore and what to expect. And I think we'll just dive into the big three. We have Mew, we have Palkia, we have Flying Pikachu, Arceus builds. Is Flying Pikachu the best deck? It won Worlds. It was like first, second. What was it? First, second.
First, second, third. Yes, and it did very well at the ice at NAIC as well.
And one NAIC.
I think it is a very high rolly option, where you're just saying like Path Marnie will get you there, and I mean it's been proven that they did it right. They did it at two big events, like back to back. Like you can't disrespect it, obviously. But I do think Palkia is still the best deck in the game.
Really?
Because I think Palkia is the best deck going first. Compared to every other deck in the game. I think if you go first as Palkia, like you are immediately putting pressure on your opponents with the turn to just pop them and go in kind of thing. Like you have so much agency.
There's options too.
But that is a caveat. I think you have to be playing the four VIP pass four era build like that my group plays pretty frequently, because I have talked to like some of the players who played Pika, like Andre and I are friends. Like Andre and I were talking at Worlds. And Miloslav, who made his deck, was talking about how they were confident that if you don't play the four VIP pass, like Palkia is significantly like disadvantaged into that matchup, because like if like Palkia needs to get like going on turn one, so finding that VIP pass is really important, especially going first. So I do think Palkia is still the best deck. Now, will Palkia have a target on its back? Yes. Will Pika have a target on its back? Yes. Will Mew have a target on its back? Yes. So you are kind of going into the end of a format, and what that means is you're playing matchup lottery to an extent. Unless someone really breaks the mold and really goes crazy and finds something, we're playing matchup lottery. But in years past, we have not seen that happen. Like, if a deck like that will come out, it would have come out at the World Championships. And I don't think anyone had something crazy enough that, like, was off the radar that nobody expected. You know, like, we didn't see, like, for example, 2019 Worlds, like, we didn't see something like Henry Brand's Mewtwo, like, where... That was so meta-defining and game-changing. Or Pidgey, like the DDG Pidgey. Like, those were two decks that, like, were so off the wall and off the radar that, like, you could not prepare for them heading into Worlds.
No.
So, we don't have that. We didn't have that at Worlds this year, and
We had one weird deck, but it didn't do well, right? It was, Towards List with the Vega Flow, but
Vega, Vega well. Ludicolo, yeah. But every player who played that Vega Ludicolo deck was, like, out of the tournament by, like, round four.
Yeah,
like, I think Tord went, like, 2-3. Yeah. I think Nico started 0-3. Robin was, like, 1-2-1 or something like that. Like everyone who played that deck, like did not do well. Like they got like, I think they like some of them played it out to the end, but playing it out because it's Worlds doesn't mean that your deck is any better. Like
it didn't make top 32. Let's go with that.
Yeah. It was a harsh tournament. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you cutting the Decidueye? Are you adding dark attackers?
I think so. I think that's probably the better way to do it. I think like you have to expect everyone's playing Dunny from here on out.
That's what I was gonna say. Are we playing Dunny?
Yeah, you have to. I think you just saw Disajoy being all three of the top three placing decks at Worlds. Like, you kind of have to play Dunny, and if you don't, well, I think it's just going to be a slow descent into madness, where like you will find someone who copycatted one of the top three lists. And I do expect people to copycat the top three lists. Just pick it up, copy paste, and play it. And when that happens, you will get rolled. Like, you will just get absolutely rolled by like that one Decidueye. And I mean, even with Dunny, I think you're still disadvantaged, because against the Decidueye build, I think you might still be like actually unfavored, because they play the four boss for that reason. Yeah. They play the four boss so they can chase down the Dunsparce. They can bring it up at their own agency, and they can set up their Decidueye. Like, Decidueye is still really good. I think there's a world where you could play, like, I don't know, like, more of a hybrid, where you can play, like, a 1-1 Decidueye and, like, a 1-1 Crobat or something, and just play, like, a bunch of different energies. But also, you're getting way too clunky at that point, and I'm, like, really scared of going to that many 1-ofs when you can't search them reliably. I mean, it worked for the top three places in the world, so, like...
Right? That's what I'm saying.
Maybe it's fine, like... In a vacuum,
it's tough. Because at that point, you're trying to tech for everything.
You always think, like, am I missing something?
Right? Because, like, in your head, when I look at this list, which is, like... I mean, you have a 2-2 Decidueye, you have a 3-2 Pikachu, and then you have a bunch of support Pokemon with Arceus. You're teching for, like, two big matchups, and kind of taking the L to Mew.
You have the Path Marnie, and you have to kind of pray that your Path Marnie works, and I mean, it does sometimes. Like, Sam City played against four Mews, and he went 4-0 because he just went Path Marnie and it worked. And I played against two Mews, and I went 1-1 because Path Marnie worked one set, and the other set it didn't, and that's how it goes.
I play the four path too, which is, I mean, that's when it comes down to me, you know, like Path Marnie can just be good enough, so that makes it tough too. I think you might not need the dark matchup, but
you might not need it. Yeah,
and also you're right, just Dunsparce probably not good enough, to be honest.
But you still have to play it. I think you still have to play it, so you have to force them to take a turn off.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. It's like a necessary evil. I think what the list should be doing, in my personal opinion, is playing like a way to one shot an Arceus on turn one or turn two. Sorry, like your first turn attacking, like either playing a copy of Choice Belt, Goon, like playing a copy of those, or like playing Powerful Energy, like something. I think just because like if you go first, like if you can do something like that, you can just run away with the whole game.
Right.
So maybe you just like scrap the whole Decidueye package and just say like fuck it, we're going in. Because I've always enjoyed when I think there was that dark build, like the Arc Dark Intel, where they just played the Belt, the Goon, like super early to try to get that like pop off cheese, and like it made it impossible, and it made it really hard in the mirror to come back because you can't out heal them at some point. Like you're gonna hit into them and they get the free boss on your other Arceus, and then they take four before you even take two, and then at that point they just can play the out healing war on you, and that might, like, I know there's no healing in these lists, but there's a world where like the symbol thing gets employed. Yeah. And like if you have to put the Pika down or something like that, you can just get chased down by like another Pika on the other side. So and it's also just another basic, like Goon is just another basic where you can like put that down on turn one to not get roped against Mew if they're playing the Mellowetta version still. So I don't know. I think there is room for innovation and adaptation. It's just not gonna be crazy in this format.
Yeah, I agree. It's the format feels pretty revealed, like, you know, I mean, all these people worked really hard to go to Worlds, and they put in a lot of effort, and that's where we're still standing. I'm sure someone's trying to do something. I don't know if they'll figure something out. I've tried a lot of stupid stuff. None of it's really working. I'm in a weird zone. I've been playing a lot of different stuff, but I think sticking with one of the top threes and just hoping for the best is the best choice at this point.
Yeah. We're playing a 1,100 man regionals, probably 1,000 people. So like, your nine rounds are gonna be crazy. It's just
you never know. Like, you just never know what you're gonna go against. So play something you're used to. You know, I mean, I don't know. Let's talk about Palkia. Obviously, it's a good deck. It does well. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think it has the most versatile. It hits really high numbers. It sets up very quickly. Its Mio matchup is really good. And the way, if Arceus is going to be thought to be played heavily, you might get more Mew players, which internally helps you. So,
It's a triangle meta. Like I think Arceus also
yeah.
has the room to mess up as a player because like you could even overbench by one Pokemon, and all of a sudden Palkia is hitting these numbers that you didn't expect them
Right.
to hit. Like so, you give these decks rooms to mess up.
Yeah, I think that's true. Like, with Palkia, there is a lot of chances for you to play someone that doesn't understand the matchup as well, and just feeds into these numbers that you talk about, which is kind of nice to have as a Palkia player. I don't know. There's not really much more. I think your guys' list for Palkia is great. I think Palkia is kind of straightforward on what it's gonna do. There's options, obviously decisions. You can kill two baby Pokemon on turn two with Ninja. You can. There's a lot of stuff you could do. I think that it's the most versatile deck. So I'm with you on it being probably the best deck in the format. Obviously the Flying Pikachu is a problem. I don't know what you can do about it. Which makes it a big risk if you think a lot of people are just going to play Flying Pikachu. I don't know if you want to play into that,
Yeah, I mean,
but
I think if you're playing Palkia, you have to be like confident in yourself as a player, and like
yeah.
understand that Palkia has to like you have to do a lot to make Palkia even work properly. But if you are confident, then yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I agree. Let's talk about Mew. There's two lists going around. There's the four DCE list, and then there's the Meloetta list. The advantages of the four DCE list, they play some supporters that
Yeah,
aren't
you get to play
boss
stuff like
on
Marnie.
this.
You get to play stuff like
Yeah.
Marnie. Your hand doesn't get stuck as much.
Correct.
But you're basically like you're like limited to like a 2-2-2 like strategy a lot of the time. You're limited to like a
Yeah.
boss. Like that's your game plan, and you lose a lot of pressure,
Early.
especially when you go second.
Yeah, and I think the Meloetta obviously just has the best turn one turn pot like possible to have a great turn one where you just can end a game on turn one killing their one attacker or their one card that's set up, their one I don't know, Froakie or I mean Sobble. Like there's a lot of options you can do with that. So I don't know. If I'm playing Mew, I'm playing the Meloetta. I don't want to give up that pressure. I think stealing games away is just nice. But I do think you gotta play catchers. I think the catchers are just like the Pokemon matchup's already bad, and I think catchers give you a chance to like steal games away from Palkia.
Yeah, I
Like
agree.
they just have one Palkia, and you can just kill the Palkia on turn one. You can win, but you need the catchers. If you're gonna play the four DCE one, you're kind of like that Palkia meta. You gotta flip heads. You gotta go first, and have a really good turn two and kill Palkia.
I agree.
Which sucks, but I think having the option of playing Mew and being okay with going first or second is like very underrated. I don't think a lot of people realize how underrated that is. Because a lot of decks really benefit going first. Like Palkia really benefits going first. So does Arceus, where if you play Mew and you're going first or second, you're playing the Meloetta list and you don't really care about the coin flip, which is kind of nice. But it is a triangle. Like
It is a triangle, yeah.
obviously your matchup against Arceus, which might not be as great. I think people, you're right. I don't. People might just start cutting the Decidueye line and start adding those dark techs back into the deck, and it could be a tougher matchup. But in the past, we've seen Mew still be able to fight off the dark techs, and your matchup's still good because you can kill an Arceus very quickly. So I still
Yeah.
think even with the dark techs, the Mew matchup's tough for Arceus.
No, they're definitely still
Yeah.
favored, especially if they go first. It feels really hard to play the game, I
Really,
think.
yeah. And then obviously Flying Peaks super good into Palkia, and then Palkia super good into Mew. So with those three, I mean, it is what it is. Like, you pick one of those, whichever one you think you have the most confidence with. I think obviously Palkia is probably the hardest one out of three to play. Mew is pretty straightforward. And I think a lot of people have a lot of time on Mew, so I think that one...
Yeah. Mew is probably one where you see, like... You didn't see it at Worlds too much because a lot of the Day 2 players are not, like, fans of Mew in particular. But, like, I think a lot of players have put a lot of time into Mew, and it's, like, one of their decks that they really enjoy. So,
And it kind of just does... You know, I mean, it has one path. It's going for the 2-2-2 or, like, targeting something down. Like, you kind of know what you're doing, so... And then Arceus list just text for everything, and you match up. You kind of have to have the mindset of knowing the matchups and doing what you need to do there. But let's talk about, like, the 4th, 5th decks. Let's talk Regis. Let's talk Charizard Radiant.
I mean, both of those decks are good, right? Like, they're like your single prize decks that can, like, steamroll matchups. But I think Regis obviously has a problem with... I think both have a problem with Pika. I think that's, like, kind of the scary thing, right? Like, both decks can't really answer into Pika super well.
You played Regis, right?
I did play Regis at Worlds, yeah.
Is that what you found?
No. I mean, to be fair, I didn't expect... Like, Pika was a deck that was lower on my radar. Okay. I thought Pika was just, like, a generally bad deck for Worlds. Because I didn't think it dealt with the meta but the way it did. But I guess the Decidueye was something that I completely overlooked. Our group ended up selling on a Slaking build. With the Pika deck, and I was going pretty even with it, and I felt fine. But I think Regis has to deal with Pika. I think Empoleon V might be played a little bit. I don't expect a lot of it yet. I think in Lost Origin it'll be played more. But and I do think if Palkia continues to play Tool Jammer, the matchup is slightly unfavorable. And also Arceus putting Dunsparce back in their decks is really annoying. That's true. Like, that was, like, a kind of a freebie matchup if they didn't. And if they start doing that again, it's like you're kind of getting collateraled a little bit. Regis was definitely, like, I think a play that was still fine for Worlds. I would not have changed my play given what happened. I think I still could have, like, I think if things went a little bit different, the Pikas wouldn't have been up there, the Mews would have been up there, and the Palkias would have been up there. And I think that Regis could have also been up there. Like, I think if, like, Pablo could have been the one to top 8 it, for example. But I do think that moving forward this weekend, I don't think Regis is necessarily the best play. You're kind of banking on hitting a lot of Palkia and Mew. And I think you could do that and kind of hope for that to happen. I think you can beat Pika if you play, like, 4 rope, like 2 boss or something. But at that point, you're losing a lot of your turbo in your deck.
True.
It's
tough. Yeah, I don't know. The setup's tough. There's a lot of single card, like, counters. It's difficult.
I'd pick a different deck to high roll with if I was playing a high roll deck.
And when we go, I tried to play the Radiant Charizard deck last night, and I think it's just super high skill cap.
So hard.
Yeah, super hard.
If we had one more night at Worlds, I think our entire group would have shifted to something Radiant Zard related, but we had put a lot of time into it at the beginning of the format, coming off of NAIC. And then we kind of decided that it wasn't good enough to deal with some of the tougher matchups, like Arc Italian. Mm-hmm. And I think Palkia was still, like, a 50-50, which we didn't like. And then after watching Ross, like, absolutely dominate day one with it, we took some time to sit down and try and figure it out. And we all felt like we don't have enough reps with the deck. And, like, I feel like we all felt that there was something... Like, we're fundamentally missing to actually play correctly. But I could see, like, some players bringing it because it's a very high skill intensity deck. When you can set up everything properly, you can set up checkmates super easily.
Yeah.
The only problem is Pika is still kind of a problem.
Pika's a problem. I also just think this deck might be a little popular just because it is Charizard. There are people that are coming just to have fun. So definitely something to look out for. Obviously I wouldn't tech for it, but I don't know, out of the 3 games I played, or not 3 games, like the games I played last night, it just felt like I didn't know that. It's been a long time since I played a deck, and I just felt like I didn't know what I'm supposed to do. And I'm like,
sure. All right. There's a lot of decisions to be made, and resources are all really important.
Yeah,
pricing can be really bad as well.
So. Pricing is bad, and just like, if your opponent doesn't knock you out, things get very like, well, do I just pass? Like, what do I do? Like, can I get five energies on this?
Yeah, you gotta set up your hand in a way that like is conducive to continue playing. There's a lot of
Path Marnie is like annoying, especially if you're setting up your hand, and then like if Empoleon was annoying because then you can't Garmadize. Like, there's a lot of things that were just like very awkward, and like I'm just trying to think. Like, there was just a lot of thinking and not knowing, like, not playing enough to have there's no way I could play the deck. I'm like, especially 9 rounds and be confident. Obviously, there was games I played where I was like, oh, all right. Like, I just, Raihan, get this card, I'll knock out.
Yeah, sometimes the hands play itself.
Yeah.
But it's probably one of the lesser decks.
Yeah, it's just.
It does it.
Yeah, super, super skill intensive. And it's definitely not something you can just pick up and play. But I think there's probably some players that are very talented and picked that up right away and went for it, you know? And they might, I could say doing good. I could say doing real well. Definitely, like, its matchups are very well if you know what you're doing. Like, those top three, I think they're close, but they're not. I think they're still favored Charizard-wise. Even Pikachu, I think you can get around the Pikachu. I mean, I think the Pikachu's got to get like a really good setup where you can't get it, go around it. But even then, I don't know. I think the matchups are great. But again, I think you just lose to yourself not knowing how to play the deck. So I definitely wouldn't pick that up right away. What are some sleeper picks? What are some sleeper picks you think?
I put a video out on this actually yesterday, I think. Okay. I think Arc Duraludon is like in a really good place in this metagame. I think Arc Duraludon is like another one of those high rolly decks that can really pop off. Yeah, you don't have the typing, but I think Duraludon's are like a bitch to get through. Like, Duraludon's like one of those cards that's like really hard to get through. And if you're like subscribing to the like, let me just research and play my game like strategy, like, yes, you don't have Path Marnie, but I think you have a better chance to beat Mew than the other Arc deck. Uh-huh. Like Arc Pika, and I think Arc Pika, I think you have a decent matchup in Arc Pika. I think you have a decent matchup into Palkia. Like, I think everyone
is like super, like, small.
Yeah, I think all those matchups are like super manageable, and I think like if you kind of just play your cards right, you could be okay. And I think there's like one of those matchups, like the decks that, like, it you auto in Gigas, you auto like Radiant Zard should be like actually super easy as well, because like they don't ever get to those numbers where they can do something with Duraludon. Especially if your board is just arc, like one arc and two Duraludon VMAXs, like, what are they going to do? They can't go through the whole thing. You're out healing them with hyper potions and stuff like that, so they can't even chip damage. So that's like probably my sleeper pick. It's probably the deck that I'm considering that's off the wall, that's not like not Palkia or something. And it's like probably the only deck that like I can see myself just like bringing and saying like, I'm just going to draw cards and like play the game. And like, I think like...
Super boring, but like... Might get the job done,
right?
Like, yeah, might get the job done.
Try to play my 9 rounds of Pokemon, try to make it to my extra 5, and then play some more rounds of Pokemon, and then I just sit there and research every round.
Right.
And I have this really cool ability called Starbirth that lets me, you know, play the game turn 2 every time. And that's like kind of the strategy that I might use this time around, because I have honestly not touched my cards since Worlds. They are still packed in my bag, so I'm really hoping I have the cards I need. I literally have been super burnt out since Worlds, so I think touching my cards has been like, I don't even know if I have it in me to like play this weekend. I mean, I will, obviously, because it's like my drive, but I am, we'll see what happens.
Right.
I don't have any high expectations for myself at all, but I think that's my sleeper pick for this event, because I'll be playing it probably and winning the event. So
okay. That's not bad. I don't really have a sleeper pick, to be honest. I think the format's figured out. I like the Duraludon. I guess we could throw like something with Jolteon, you know, maybe that Jolteon. I think a lot of people are cutting the Jolteon which is probably smart because it's pretty dead into like a lot of matchups, but I don't know. People could be thinking no one's gonna play the Jolteon, just go back all Inteleon engines and just get rolled over by the Jolteon builds. I mean, you could also just throw any type of like VMAX into an Arceus deck and do pretty well, to be honest.
Yeah.
We've seen that in the past, so something like that could be a sleeper pick. Arceus is very versatile. I don't see any like off the wall decks kind of making a splash. I mean, I'll be very surprised if someone comes out with a different archetype and does well. So yeah, I don't really see anything like that. But I do like the Duraludon sleeper.
It's also just like a hard gut check. Like I feel like I could just get absolutely shit on and like you go could. Like 1-4 or something. But I feel like it's the only thing I would like see myself playing outside of there's a 90% chance to play Palkia just because like it is the best deck in the format and it gives me the most chance to outplay people. But besides that,
yeah, I agree with that. It's not too bad. If you're just gonna go for points, what deck you playing?
Mew.
Yeah, I agree. I think Mew.
Mew. The fusionless Mew is a deck that actually our group had built as well.
Okay.
And I wish like I had pulled I had the balls to pull the trigger at Worlds. I unfortunately was in day one. I saw a lot of dark stuff, so I got really scared. Like our player we sent into day one, Harris, ended up going 3-3, and I think all three of his losses were to like Inteleon plus dark stuff.
Yeah,
and I
was just
like
tough.
absolutely the fuck not. I'm not sitting down and just getting just beat up by one Galarian Moltres. Like you literally lose to one Galar Moltres. Like I'm not doing that. And if I like the Gigas was my backup, so like that's where I went. But had I like pulled the trigger on Mew, I think I would have. Had a good time. Like a really easy. I think it would have been a, like given my matchups. Obviously, things would have shifted because what happened. But like, I would have raffle stopped Worlds. I think so.
I agree with you. I think Mew is very. You can just win games on turn one. You have a lot of options. I think it's the most repped deck. I think there's so many lists. That you can look up and you can test. There's a lot of stuff, so, and you can just steal victories very easily with that list. And getting your five, I think like even like 5-3 is going to get you points. Now you're making day two. I think there's that many masters.
Yeah, I think we'll have over 800. So 256 kicker activates.
So I think getting five victories,
picking up 40 is like a really nice number to pick up. Even like we can get that. Like that's nice.
So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So like. Just getting five wins, I think Mew's probably your best bet. I don't think you're going to outplay yourself. I think other decks in the top, you can overthink it and outplay yourself. I think Mew's very straightforward. You're going to, you know your game plan. You're going for that 2-2-2, just bosses orders, catchers, let's move on with our life strategy. And you can win with that. So yeah, I'm with you on that. I think Mew's your points getter. What deck should you not play?
Zard. I think playing Zard box, like if you're not super well versed with it, or like a top 50 player is like kind of suicide into this big event because you're going to have to play perfectly for a potential 27 games on day one into a potential like 15 to 18 games on day two into more. That includes prize checking properly, hoping things aren't prized every game. Like you're putting a lot on the line and it doesn't have the same kind of like assertiveness and agency that the old Urshifu had, like EUIC. Like you don't have the same amount of like I can checkmate you so easily with the way this game can go. You don't have that. Like you don't have that level of threat assessment where so many things can go wrong with this deck. And I don't think.
There's so many.
I think players will make a play that doesn't seem like a mistake, but like four turns later you realize like using that one net it has lost you the game. Like using that one net or using that one quick ball or a level ball has lost you the game, and that's like a terrible feeling because like that's not something you can fully recover from moving forward into like a next round. Like you're thinking about it, like it's gonna stick with you. And so I think why work so hard for your wins when you get to something like Arkpika? Like I don't know, like just
it's tough. I know Charizard is super fun. I mean to Charizard. I think a lot of people will just want to play Charizard. It's just, it's not, it's, you're not that guy. I'm just saying, you're not that guy.
You're not that guy. I don't even think I'm that guy.
That's what I'm saying. I was panicking yesterday. I'm like, I don't know what to play. Like, everything sucks. I don't like the triangle. I'm like, Charizard probably has a good matchup into all three. I'm just going to play Charizard. Play like three games. I'm like, oh, I'm not that guy. I'm not him. To even think about trying to make these decisions for 9 rounds and you got to be pretty much perfect to even like get one victory. And you got to do it twice. Also, if you lose a game, like the odds are like you're going to tie.
You're going to tie. If you lose game one, your best case scenario is a tie. You are playing down to that sixth prize, like almost every game.
Every time.
You're not playing a deck that can just inherently be powerful and steamroll something. That's not the scope of your deck.
It's not the play. As much fun you think you're going to have, you're not going to have fun. So don't play that. What decks win in the tournament?
Palkia. I'm putting my money on Palkia. I think good players will bring Palk.
Yeah.
I think there'll be more good players that bring Palkia that players like Isaiah, players like Azul. I don't know if Azul will play Palkia necessarily, but I think Palkia will be in the winning deck. I don't know if it'll be Palkia Ice Rider or whatever, but I think Palkia will be in the winning deck.
That's true. We didn't talk Ice Rider, but Ice Rider is definitely a play that we should have talked about, but we ain't got time for that now. I just think Flying Peak is probably going to win again. I just think Palkia is great. I think you're right. A lot of good players are going to play Palkia, and they're going to be up there in the top eight, and they're going to get beat by Flying Peak again 3 times in a row, which is just how it is. It is what it is, but I think something similar to the world's list will win. You're right. I don't think Dunsparce is good enough. I think people are going to play the Dunsparce. They're going to still get beat up by the Decidueye. I don't think the Mew matchup is as one-sided as people think it is. I still think it's tough for Mew to even win that matchup. If they have bad, Marnie Path is just really good. So I don't even think you need dark stuff to beat it. So I think the deck is super well-rounded. It
worked. It worked for people.
It just works.
If it doesn't work, you get fucked. But it is proven to work over and over again.
I think that wins. I'm not going to play it, even though I know that sounds stupid, but I don't like mirror matches. And if I'm going to play a mirror match, I'd rather play it. Mew mirror match, so I'm probably gonna play Mew. Mirror matches.
It's one of those decks that's just inherently so powerful.
It's super powerful, and I think I'm gonna end up playing the Meloetta build, which I think is really good into the 4 DCE build. Which, if I'm gonna play mirrors, I'm cool with them playing that list. So, sounds better to me. I think that's where we're at. I think the event's going to be fun. Baltimore should be fun. The weather, it's not too hot out there.
It'll be nice this weekend.
Yeah, it'll be nice. The convention center is downtown area, which is cool. I've never been to Baltimore, so I'm kind of excited.
Warning to players, just don't walk too far at night from the venue area. I mean, downtown Baltimore is not known for its safety. So.
Okay. Yeah. No baseball game this weekend, which kind of sucks. I'm a big baseball stadium. There is a football game. Might have to look into going to that. That's not a bad idea. So check that out. If you don't day two, but maybe we hit that 5-3 mark, get some points, and go to the football game. Not a bad idea.
I'm not going to a Ravens game. I don't care about the Ravens.
I don't like football either. But I think, I don't know, when you're in, doing something. That's just an experience. I don't know. It matters how much it is, too. Football games are usually expensive. That's why I like baseball games.
The Ravens aren't that. Ravens Dolphins shouldn't be a big ticket game.
Oh, well, hopefully. I don't know. A baseball game, you can get into a baseball game for $40 and get good seats. Like, yeah, I don't know. True.
But there's also like a million baseball games.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, a football game, they only have like 8 in the whole stadium for the whole year. And like, tickets are just expensive just because of that.
It's $100 still. That's
yeah, it's probably like nosebleed 100.
Yeah, nosebleed 100 is probably what I'm
saying. No. Probably not. But maybe. I don't know. It matters how we're feeling that weekend. But yeah, I think we broke it down. Don't play Charizard. Play the top 3 decks. Reggie's probably not the best pick. There's some Duraludon. Sleeper Duraludon. Definitely don't try to reinvent the format. It's not a good idea. And overall, just have fun. I think the event's going to be fun. I think it's going to be run really well.
It's a blast, yeah.
Yeah, I think the TO is very informative. Very,
no, I love Christine. Christine's great. Yeah.
Like on Twitter, definitely go on Twitter, follow all these people. Down below is a bunch of links to anyone who's a new player. If you're a new player and you want to get into the game, there's a ton of I link like every content creator that I know down below that gives out good content for new players. Make sure you like, subscribe to this. Spotify, Apple Music, Rolls, TikTok's down there, so do that. You got anything else?
Nope, I'm chilling.
Nope, I'm chilling too. I'm excited for this weekend. It'll be fun to see you. It's been a minute. Yeah, guys, let's have fun. Let's get some points, have fun. If you see us, don't be afraid to hit us up. We're always down to hang out and talk.
Yeah, come say hi. Worlds and like a lot of events recently, there's been a lot of people coming up and saying hi to me, and yeah. It's honestly like one of the coolest things in the world to have people like just come talk to me and like take my take a picture and like, stuff like that. So
yeah, it's super cool when anyone ever says, hey, I do, I love the podcast, or I watch your podcast. Like, super like crazy to even think that people will want to listen to this. And I know we come and go a lot. And every time we go, I always get messages that are just like, yo, I need the podcast back, I missed the podcast, or go to a regional, like, oh, you're the dude from the podcast. Like, that stuff feels good. It's really cool to see like the community actually enjoys the content I put out. So yeah, definitely, if you see me, say what's up. I'm a nice guy most of the time. Unless I'm 03 and I'm leaving, dude, don't talk to me, all right? No, I'm just fine. At that point, if I'm 03, I'm laughing, and it's just not my day. But, yeah, I hope you guys enjoy the content. We'll be back next week with Lost Origin stuff. I don't think either of us are going to Illinois, right?
No, I can't make it. I have a wedding.
Yeah, so neither of us going there, but we'll definitely play test because Salt Lake City, you're going?
I'll be there, yeah.
Yeah, I'll be at Salt Lake, so
I should be at more likely than not everything else.
Yeah. I'll be at all West Coast for sure, and then NAIC for sure. And then it all just comes down to how many points I'm actually getting. Because then, you know, if I got to spend some more money, head over to the East Coast, we might have to do that. But
yeah.
We're going to try to just stay on the West Coast, because, I don't know, East Coast is old. I don't like it. No, just play. But yeah, I think that's it. I think it's time to scoop it up.